Welcome, welcome, coaches, teachers, parents, and medical professionals. You are listening to Larissa Mills and my podcast, At the Table. I am the founder of iParentGen.com, and today and every day, we are going to discuss how families and schools are managing technology and raising children and teaching them. We are also going to listen to how technology is impacting athletes and their level of sport. So let's get to it. Stay tuned and please call in with your questions or join us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram. But parents, you are not alone. There are courses, articles, and videos on my website. Please sign up for free. So let's get listening. Hi there. How are you doing, Vina?
I'm good, thank you, Larissa. How are you doing?
It's 40 degrees here.
Wow, amazing.
I know, it's a little nice hot today. I'm kind of glad this inside today.
Of course, no. That's
I good. Know.
Yes.
Well, I'm so glad that you could take the time out of your very, very busy schedule to meet with me and talk to parents about how we can connect with our children, how we can connect with our teens, how we can avoid conflict with them in such a very close proximity with our children right now. And it's really amazing how emotions are churned up during this time and how we are navigating during this time. So I'm kind of wondering, I think we should tell everybody what your background's in and how we can go from there.
Yeah, no, that's good. Really, really nice to be here. I feel very honored to be on your show. So I'm Fina Chichi Ikeji. And I'm based in London, UK. So we're right here in England with the Queen. Yeah. I am a parenting teens consultant and a coach. Yeah. And I'm also a teens lead coach as well. So I do coach teenagers as well. So I'm kind of in the middle of both parents and teenagers. I started this journey over 10 years ago. Started with teenagers, really. Mentoring teenagers, coaching teenagers to believe more in themselves. But whilst I was talking and coaching teenagers, I saw that there was a gap because a lot of teenagers were always complaining about, my parents don't listen. My parents do this. My parents do that. So even when I coach them and they get better, they get home and they're faced with conflicts. They get home and they're faced with unbelief. So that was what drew me back to now talking to parents, teaching parents how to communicate, because communication is key. Communication leads to the connection, and connection leads to that flourished relationship. And that was how I started. Do family coaching as well, where I coach both parents and teenagers together. Yeah. Our organization is called Parenting Teens Solutions, and we go around. Before the pandemic, we had events, live events, and then I also encourage parents as well in the workplace. You know, a lot of times parents are so busy, they haven't got enough time to go for these events. Yeah. So now we can actually go into the workplace and talk to parents and encourage parents. I've got teenagers. I've got a 20-year-old. He's not he's
a teenager anymore.
But I've also got a 17 and a 13-year-old as well. And so that's who I am in a nutshell. I enjoy what I do. I'm very passionate about what I do. And that passion shows in a lot of things and a lot of the way I speak as well to parents and to teenagers. Mm-hmm. And it's a journey that I believe. And to be honest, with the pandemic, it's even made this journey even more important than ever.
I think that's something there because I think there were pre-existing pandemic issues.
Oh, yes.
Right? And now definitely. We are all in our families, in our homes, with these pre-existing issues that we almost can't quite deal with.
Yes.
And we're coping.
Yes.
But we're not
dealing with it, exactly.
Right? And so many people are leaving the house. I think our dog has walked quite a lot.
Lots. What we also had before the pandemic is we had the school. So the kids were in school for really, you know, how many hours of the day? We were at work for so many hours of the day and just came home in the evenings. But now we have all day, you know, with the kids, with the family, with everyone.
Fina and I are going to... Mostly Fina is going to talk about how we can connect to teens. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about methods and strategies to give parents to use at home during this time. We are going to actually give you some steps, right, to our listeners and how we can do this. And you mentioned avoiding conflict.
Yes.
So my first question then for our listeners is, we have all of these behavioral issues that you and I have discussed before, phone addiction, gaming addiction, and being connected to our technology, but not connected to the human beings in our homes. How can we help parents with this right now when we could be in this for a lot longer than we think?
I think one of the main things that parents can get and kind of define right now in their homes is, what is closeness? There has to be a definition of what that closeness is. Because for some parents, closeness can be an hour a day, but it's going to be about quality over quantity. For some, So for some parents, it's going to be like a longer time, maybe over dinner or over the time they're cooking, or when they go for walks with their dogs. Those are the times that they can spend, you know, that closeness together. But without that definition, then everyone's going to think they're not being as close as they should be. If they have that definition, then they've got something to weigh it against.
Would you
so
say
that's really,
intimacy? I've been linking it to family intimacy. Like, how close are you? Because if we're all, like, you know, here
on the phone
and we're all sitting here, I call it all organisms and a host.
Right?
So we're all connected.
Yes.
But we're not connected.
We're disconnected,
The home as our fundamentals, you know, right? So it's, would you agree with that, that we're here?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Because and how can we get over this?
So what we can do is agree a time that we're all away from those devices. Mm-hmm. Let's have a time that we are all, both mom and dad and everyone's away from those devices. And let's interact. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. Let's sing. Let's dance. You know,
I agree.
Do human things, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and play and jump or even exercise. But there are things that we can all do together. But
my kids can run faster than me now.
Yeah, exactly. But we have to make it a we thing and not just keep on telling them that they are always on the phone. Because we too, we've got our time on the phone as well. So we need to make it as all of us need to, let's keep these things down. Let's talk, let's chat.
I think I was telling you about my colleague who is in Cornwall.
Yes.
Well, here, our statistics for education, we are seeing suspensions go up. We are seeing rude behavior in parents go up. And we are actually asking parents to leave school grounds, hockey arenas, and that's happening there as well. It's happening everywhere.
Is it happening everywhere?
What has changed from 2010? It seems to be whenever I interview somebody, no matter which psychologist, psychiatrist, they've got it in their notes, their patient, what is the volume of this rudeness, disrespectfulness, violence is increasing. So how then are we not alarmed as a medical community and we're not doing something about this? What do you think we should do about this?
Very, very, very good question. Because one of the big elements missing is the value system. The value system has been lost in the homes. You don't get to hear families talking about respect, courtesy, good behavior, good character, compassion. It's no more the buzzwords anymore. You don't hear those. Children are not given a gift or given or praised for having a good behavior or being kind.
Right.
When these are the normal things that we should build in children, these are the normal things that families should have. So because of the lack of values, the values are not being spoken about in the homes. The values are not being appreciated in the homes. That's why parents can go out there, shout on teachers, shout on coaches, show that bad behavior without even thinking about it. Without thinking about it. They've not taught their children about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. So kids go to school, someone gets on their nerves. The first thing they're doing is reacting, overreacting. Because they've not been taught self-control. Nothing about emotional intelligence has even been spoken in their, they've never even heard the word emotional intelligence. When I speak to teenagers, these words are very foreign to them.
And they shouldn't
I say, okay, what values do you want? They're like, Fina, what do you mean by what values? They ask me these questions very genuinely because these are not things that they speak about at home. Not things that they speak about. But if you look back in many years behind, we spoke about kindness.
Right. And
we spoke about compassion.
In the 70s, my father would tell me,
Yes.
No, you address him as Mr. Acheson.
Exactly.
Mr. Exactly. Smith. And you do not say, yeah, to the next door neighbor. Yeah. Hey, John. Mm-hmm. Like, I would never call an adult by their first name.
I know.
We dressed differently, and we had more formality, and we had more a value system that was in place. And all of a sudden, I saw, as a teacher and consultant in the school, I saw the levels change, morals, the level of dress, the level of formality, it just all went out.
Exactly.
And now when we teach, it's very hard to get a child's attention.
Yes, very.
Very hard.
Very distracting, yes.
Yeah, so you were saying about this closeness.
Yes.
Would you say that, and we all know in psychology, is that the bond of secure attachment is paramount to their long-term mental health?
Yes, it is.
How do we encourage parents to fight for this time, to do it?
Whew, the biggest, the biggest bonds of attachment that you get to start developing and growing as your teenagers are growing is the power to listen. The power to listen. It's we sometimes parents take that word listen for granted, but it's so powerful because that is the make or break of the closeness. If teenagers feel that their parents are not listening to them,
they are
not going to be close to their parents. No matter how many bags and shoes and material things you buy for them, if they know that you can't listen to them, if they've concluded that you do not listen to them, that closeness is difficult to form. So one of the biggest bonds of this attachment is the ability to listen.
Yeah, it's crazy because we've seen, there was a new study that came out in the Canadian Pediatric, Summer Magazine, I was reading it. It was a fairly valid study. Thousands of mothers admitted they were nursing their babies, and 80% of them have dropped their phones on their baby's heads.
Oh.
So my concern was, why would you have your phone when you're nursing your baby and this is your bonding time? This is when you have to listen for hiccups, whether or not they're, like, I had to do CPR on my daughter about 5 months old. And if I wasn't paying attention to the little choking and I could hear her gagging, I saw a mom who let a kid scream and she's just sitting here on her phone, but the baby couldn't latch. So she didn't relatch the baby. So are we not connecting to our children anymore because of these phones?
Yes. That's part of it because again, remember the value systems, we've forgotten what it means to have that time. We're not practicing self-control because if you're conscious of what you're doing, if you've timed if you've set your time properly, you know that this is a baby time. This is time for us to bond. Phone away. It's not a priority.
Yeah.
What we've gotten so used to, we want to catch up. We don't want to miss out. The fear of missing out.
You know, you're about the fifth person in this series.
Yes.
Literally, all of you who I've interviewed, and you can hear the whole podcast.
Yes.
Everyone has said, I'm afraid to miss out now.
Yes.
That's the thing. What are we afraid of missing out, right? If you're living, like, it's. I think it's nuts. We were in Portugal a year ago. Our whole family went. It was one of our best bonding, you know, forms of being together as a family. And it was interesting how to see the older kids protect the little one at the airport. Like how they watched him and where he went and what he did. Because he's significantly younger.
Yes.
Right? And I would see all the families all over, even in England and France, all on this trip.
Yes.
And I could tell who was American and who was Canadian,
because
the majority of them were on their phones.
Yes, yeah. Oh, wow. See?
And the Portuguese were not out at dinner. The French were not. The English, maybe a little bit more, but I saw them outside a lot more, right? Yeah. Like, and they were traveling. So this is all just observation.
Clearly. Observation, see?
But I saw bonding more than I did here in North America.
Wow.
And that just made me... I think I wrote in one of my daily journals, like what I saw, like every day. And I just really like the Portuguese and how they're doing it. They're really about family.
Yes. Values. Values is a big deal. Values is a big deal.
And funny and singing and having their culture and embracing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Massive.
So if we gloss at that, we look at that, how can we encourage the cultures that are not doing it to do it, but to do it more? Now we have to do it more and more often.
Yes.
How do we get them to fit this in their day?
I think we need to keep talking. We need to keep sharing with parents, because what parents don't realize, I don't think parents look at the statistics that we look at. I don't think they think about the consequences of these, of the lack of these, these tools that we want them to put in place. They don't look at it. Sometimes they hear other parents say, oh, you know, my teenager is doing that. I don't think they bring it back home to think, oh, what can we do to avoid that?
Right.
So it's that. And that's why all of us in these roles that we have with parents, we've got to keep talking. We've got, our voices has got to be the loudest. Mm-hmm. We've got to keep speaking to them.
Yeah. Because would you agree that right now during this time that we should, you know, unplug for like an entire evening? I mean, my husband and I years ago decided when phones came in and we were starting to feel like the phone was making us more productive. Mm-hmm. But the phone was making us more accessible.
Yes.
So I changed my phone to make it work for me.
Yes.
So I shut off all the notifications. I shut off everything. Oh, yes. I changed my social media. So, and I time myself when I go on my phone. Like I put my own timer on, because I could fall down the rabbit hole very easily and on Pinterest.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
But very easy. Don't feel good when I do that, because I feel guilty that I'm not giving them. But that's, I mean, they're in bed, right? Or I only am on my phone if my husband texts me during the day.
Yeah.
Or the children are ringing me and I'm on a walk, and so they're like, "Mom, someone, he got hurt. He's bleeding. Yeah. I gotta come home." You know, that I don't want to hear from anyone else when it's my time, because I want my brain to shut down.
Yes, exactly.
And just connect. And I think maybe more parents, if we just felt good in our own shoes, and we were present, and we were with who we're with.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
And have that connection back. And I feel more valued. And during the pandemic, people are feeling more lonely. And you said in your work, how can we help teens not to feel lonely? What can we tell parents about that?
And you know what? A lot of times, teenagers feeling lonely in this time, it starts with the voices and the words they've been hearing. And that's why I'm very big. If you notice, a lot of my content is about how we speak to our teenagers. Because it's in the how that teenagers are comfortable with themselves. If a teenager has got a very low self-esteem because of how we've spoken to them, it's very hard to get them out of that loneliness. So that loneliness and the effects of pandemic, I mean, even for someone who has a healthy self-esteem, you, with this pandemic, just because we're locked down, it's easy to feel lonely at times. But then because you've got a healthier self-esteem, you know how to kind of build yourself back out. Bring yourself back.
Okay.
With a teenager who has a low self-esteem, who doesn't really feel good about themselves, who, when they've gone to their parents to say something, their parents have dismissed them. It's very hard to get out of that lonely part. So one of my key ways of talking to teenagers, and when I listen to them, I validate teenagers a lot. I'm very big on validating them.
And how would you do that? Like, can you give me
I'll give you an example. Yes, I'll give you an example. It's just for example. Even my teenagers are actually, I did that with my teenagers on one of those days where she said, "Mom, you know what? I feel very bad, very down. I'm getting very bored of just being at home. I'm very, very bored. I'm missing my friends. You know, when is this pandemic?" Yeah. She said, "When is this pandemic going to be over?"
Yeah.
I said, "You know what?" I said, "Tamara, I don't know when it's going to be over, but I understand how you're feeling right now."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I understand you
almost repeated what they said, but it came out, you filtered it."
Exactly.
And that's the way my little guy, he's like 9. And he asked me a question. He said, "Mom," this is 8 weeks ago, maybe March, when we just had to buckle down, we were on lockdown.
Exactly.
And he said to me, "What if I get COVID and you're not allowed to go to the hospital?" I know. And he's quick. He listens to everything in this household.
Yeah.
But I'm also having to tell parents how to cope with that. And it was amazing because when I consulted with a psychiatrist, they said, you lie.
Yes.
Say, I'm going to be with you. And remember, and built up his mantra. So we're like, you're strong. You are fast.
Yes, exactly.
You are, and he says them every night before he goes to bed.
Oh, yes, affirmation.
You are a problem solver.
Yes.
And he says them. He says them every night before he goes to bed.
Yes.
And he repeats them. He said, you're going to repeat those things.
Yes.
If you get sick, his mom or dad are going to be there with you. And exactly. I didn't know that at the time.
Yes.
We didn't know, but I lied.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, you have to give them that reassurance.
Yes. You have to give them the reassurance.
Back sleeping on a little Betty in our room because he was just, you know, that was his need and I'm validating and I understood it.
Yes.
And you know what? After about five nights,
yes.
He said it changed. He just went in his own bed.
Yeah, exactly.
We served, listened and we watched his behavior.
Exactly.
I dismissed it.
Yes.
We talked about it. We validated.
Yes.
We kind of lied.
Yeah, it's not negative, not at all.
But at the time no one was allowed in.
Yes.
Right? And
exactly.
So but now one parent here I think is allowed in.
Mm-hmm.
So but he didn't know that.
I see.
And he was just afraid because he was in the hospital a year ago, a few nights, with really bad abdominal pain. So he didn't want to go back.
He didn't want to go back. I don't blame him.
He loved the popsicles and the nurses loved them, but he's like, I don't want to go back. That fear of that painful moment. And it caught a little bit of talking and acknowledgement.
That acknowledgement is so key. It is key.
Right. So you're saying that's how you validate.
Yes, you validate. Yes, you've got
to. And then if you validate them, it actually decreases their anxiety.
Thank you. Absolutely. Because you agree with them. Exactly. I'll give you an example of what parents can do in that situation.
Okay,
sometimes accidentally parents may just say, oh, don't worry about your friends. You know, oh, don't, why are you feeling that way?
And that's dismissive.
And just dismiss them completely. And that dismissal can even cause more chaos in their lives.
Yes. More curiosity.
Yes.
More going online to search for things that they shouldn't be searching for.
Thank you.
Getting approval of their peers instead of your approval.
Instead of your approval.
That's really something that we're dealing with in schools. Because now children don't want their parents' approval or confirmation. Oh. They're going straight to their peers. They're just bypassing.
Who haven't got a clue. Their peers who don't even have a clue as well about life.
I know, right? Well, so what are your worries? Worries right now for parents and what 3 tips can we give them to help them?
The best 3 tips I'm going to tell parents.
Yeah.
Listen more.
Yeah.
Correct without criticizing and comparing and the validation that we've just spoken about. Those 3 things will cause a better connection to your children, will cause your children to listen to you more, and will cause you to have a better influence over their lives. Listening, correcting them without criticizing or comparing, and validating them. They are so powerful. I mean, there are loads of topics under those 3 things. Those 3 things will get parents and teenagers connected. We'll get parents being the voice in their teenagers' ears.
So teaching them, like I teach a lot about self-talk.
Yeah, thank you.
Exactly. So I write a lot of courses on that. And self-talk is basically that inner voice in our heads.
Exactly.
And if we can start doing that with our children, even babies
learn
how to self-talk. I was writing a course on that. And you can start by language development in toddlers and the processes. But if we're not talking to them, playing with them, like with their trucks, with their dolls, with their Tonka truck, like whatever, in the sandbox.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're going to push the swings. Oh, honey, but stay outside the swing so you don't get hit. We're teaching them the process in their head.
Them thinking. Yes.
And then, Mom, I shouldn't stand in front of the swing. Yeah, I'll get hit. Yeah. Yes. As they almost nail a kid, you know, walking by the swing.
Exactly.
But that's a good example I give to parents to help validate where self-talk comes from. Because if we're not talking out loud, they're not hearing anything.
They're not hearing. Exactly. They're not hearing. And I think another thing that parents need to do is parents need to start embracing these new tools that we're sharing. Because a lot of times, parents are defaulting back to how they were parented. Sometimes how they were parented was not very functional. So they default to that. And that's why it's important that they embrace these new tools that we're sharing with them. I mean, I'm calling them new tools. They're really not new, they're tools that really help.
It's not used.
They're just not used. Yes.
They're all rusty. I call them rusty tools.
Rusty tools.
Yes. And parents need better tools in their arsenal.
They do. They do.
Right? That's what I'm always saying. You need to be able to grab a tool. Like, I have three children.
Yes.
Very different children.
Oh yes. Oh, yes. All, absolutely.
I can't believe how the same value system,
yes,
the same way of speaking, the same, yes, discipline, the same consequences, yes, and accountability,
yes,
same gratitude, same thankfulness, same, mm-hmm, kindness.
Yes.
All different.
All different. Yep.
But I had to learn why this one didn't work with that tool, and I had to switch to another tool.
Oh, yes.
I call it like my Black and Decker drill bit.
Yes, exactly.
So I have to take another drill bit out.
Yes.
And put it on and try it.
Yep.
But at least I'm trying. I'm not giving up.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I'm here. I'm in,
you'll be flexible. Yes.
To be invested. Keep, yes, trying. And the, yes, most important thing is to keep talking.
Yes.
Oh, and don't, yes, shut off. Like, I tell parents, I have a book coming out on how to be a good parent in the age of technology. So the parents are like, well, yes, I'm at a loss because of technology. I can't speak to them. I need to get them off. I wrote them, have the phones on the main floor. Yes. You need to be able to see if they're sending, yes, anything inappropriate, doing anything inappropriate, watching anything inappropriate. I, yes, could go on almost any phone right now, even mine, mm-hmm, and find something suspicious.
Oh, yes. Oh, right? Yes. Yes, that's how easily accessed this is.
Photos,
yes,
under followers. The parents had no idea this kid had, mm-hmm, 1,500 followers at age 12.
At 12, you see. Who's following? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Who do you know?
You know?
Who knows you?
Right?
Yep.
So yes. Do you think that we can get parents to be more invested?
I think we can. I am always very hopeful. I think that's the way that I am always come across. I'm,
yeah,
always,
I mean,
very
that's
helpful.
Why we're here, right?
Yes, that's exactly, that's why we're here. I think parents need a lot of encouragement. Because one thing that I try to avoid is criticizing parents when I'm sharing what they need to be doing. Because parents already don't feel so great about what's going on. They could just be managing it, but they probably don't feel so great. So for us to kind of encourage them and get them to be very invested in this parenting journey,
right,
it's about encouraging them. It's about lifting them up. So sometimes I will have a post and I will say, well done,
that's
parents,
a lot of it,
just to build them up. Because they don't get to hear a lot of positives about them.
No, they,
you
know, don't.
Kids are like, oh, I hate you, mom. I hate you, dad. So sometimes it's important that we, in this field that we are in, be that encouraging voice to them as well.
That's, I call it the rah-rah part of the job, yes, the cheerleader part.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Giving them the pragmatic tools, helping them apply the tools, implementing, yes, the tools.
Yes. Yes.
Mom. And they panic, mm-hmm, if the tools aren't working. They, yes, just panic.
They do.
And I said, well, if that tool is not working, we can try another tool.
That's right.
And you're going to have, right, to keep trying tools because, yes, you have no choice but to try.
Exactly.
And if your child is needing, you know, psychological therapy, or you are, or something is going on in the house, I said, if it's an emergency, you must go, mm-hmm, to the doctor.
Yes.
Right? Mentally, like if they're starting to cut themselves. That's, and right, I see this a lot more in the teenagers.
Yes.
We're getting really close here. I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Yes.
What are your thoughts and opinions about how we can get close? What things can parents do to get closer, like today, to their child?
I think I would say, number one, apologize. Have a chat. If you know that you're not close right now, have a chat. And get your teens to open up to say, what am I doing? Ask them, what am I doing? What's going on? What do you want me to work better on? It's a very humbling conversation.
Yeah. Yes.
But it works.
It works
because you're giving your teenager. Yes.
She told me, let me tell you.
Yes.
She's introverted. But yes, when I asked her, I said, how can I improve this relationship? Because, yes, obviously we had a rough patch. She's, yes, a swimmer, right? She's right. And she's very, like, very, very competitive. And, yes, she hurt herself and she was sad. And we couldn't figure what else was going on. And it's just that she just wanted to be in the pool. She wanted to be swimming. She wanted to be with her.
Yes.
And I had to adjust my mom hat, mm-hmm, and put the therapy hat on.
Yes.
And say, okay, I think she's sad.
Yes.
I think she's angry. Mm. She's chirpy. Like, what's going on? And she was just just sad. She also wasn't getting her swimming time in the pool, right? So they're not getting that stress.
Yes.
Right? And she goes, well, you know, Mom, like, just, I'm good. I just need, I need you to just listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, I'm like,
powerful. Okay. Yes. Yes.
But without adding anything.
Yes, exactly. Without, yes. I shared a post recently about that. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I've had to.
Exactly. Yep. 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 Just listen.
And that's
even if what you have to say is right, just listen. Yes. Yes.
And she confided. Yes. She's been confiding in me a lot more. I just let it come out.
Yeah.
But it's a lot better. Yes. Right. And I just didn't want to see that wedge or, you know, and her not in this rut. But I had tried all my tools and they weren't working. So I had to try other tools. So I just flipped it around and said, okay, what do you need from me?
Yes. That's the key.
And that's all I said.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and it was almost like, oh, I really should have tried that earlier. I thought about it.
I know. But you know, yes.
And when that's it's what your happens. Own, you're more hesitant to try things because you're more right. But I just did it. I just said one day, what have you got to lose? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You've got nothing to lose by asking them, how can we make our relationship? What are two things you need better for me today?
Yes.
You talk, move on, go to the next day. And it's amazing when I ask parents, ask their teens what they say, and they almost all say the same thing. Don't criticize me.
Thank you. That's it.
Just listen to me.
Just listen.
I just want to talk to someone and I just want to like watch a movie and eat popcorn without being
corrected and
corrected.
Advised. And yes.
The correction and the criticism I find are really harming people. Really.
Very, very much.
Yes.
And what parents don't realize is that there's so many voices out there. So when we don't listen and when we criticize in our homes, their ears are to other voices. And those other voices are nicer. Those voices are calming. Those voices are not criticizing them. So they're listening to those voices.
And I realize I'd rather be a voice of reason that they want to come to than their peers and listen to whatever they're going to spout, which they have no knowledge or experience. And we know that, right?
Exactly.
So I gave up years ago, and I give an example of this, about the dress. I call it the dress code theory.
Okay, yes, yes. Okay?
So if a parent is, I find even picky about what their child is wearing, I'm like, why?
Well,
don't pick at that. Pick at behavior, manners, pick a bigger etiquette, thing. All these harming others, right? Like, pick your battles. I had to pick my battles. Like, in the last 8 weeks, boy. Have I had to pick my battle?
Oh, yes.
But behavior is number one.
Yes.
But clothes?
I know.
But I put out two outfits, pick one. And even if they mix match the one, it matches.
Yes, exactly.
But now they're on their own. Now they don't care because they're confident. Mom's not going to bother. But I had to learn that, like when the one was like five. And why am I don't care. But as long as you're wearing clothes and underwear and
it's covered up. Exactly.
And I go out and see all
a lot of stress on themselves.
Instagram photos because they're worried about the image now more than what's going on under the surface.
Exactly. And that's what causes a lot of the problems that we're seeing in teenagers today. That's what causes a lot of that.
It's interesting that you say that. My last question before we wrap up.
Yes.
Teenagers are exposed to almost, they stay in Canada, 5 to 7 hours a day of social media.
Yes, yes.
With social media comes comparativism, jealousy, envy, all these negative feelings. It never really results in any positive feelings.
Nothing at all, yes.
Right, so how then are most schools still allowing phones on the school property?
I'll be honest with you, I was surprised because in the UK, even if kids take their phones, they have to put their phones in the bag once they get into the school.
Yeah, but not here. We don't have consequences for it.
They need to do that because kids can get very attached. We've seen it already. Statistics are showing that they're getting very attached to these phones. These phones...
Every 2 minutes they're looking in a 76-minute class.
Yes. I think if schools are not wanting to do anything about it, parents of students should insist that schools do that.
Yeah. And as teachers here, 95% of teachers want phones gone.
Yes, I think
because ends up with a whole layer of administrative issues that come up fighting, yelling, nude photos, the sending.
Yes, sending everything. To each other.
And not no, most importantly, yes. They're learning disjointed learning. Yes. So they're not retained.
They're not focused. Yes, exactly.
And we're teaching them how to not focus.
Yes.
How is this even setting them up to be successful if we can't set them up to focus?
Exactly, because focus is the key. It's the key to success.
Well, yeah, kind of. And we know successful that our literacy rates are dropping.
Yeah.
Our literacy, our math, everything is dropping.
Oh, no, they need to ban it. It has to be banned.
And it's
in those hours.
Once they're
back to, yes.
And the argument here, interesting enough, is the parents want to stay connected to the child at the school.
But not during school hours. During school hours?
Oh, there are parents texting their children all day.
No
even
way.
In a class, and I would pick up the phone and said, your son or daughter is writing a university test. You can't interrupt my class. And I said, please don't ask him if they want steak or eggs. Like, simple. Oh, mom, I forgot my gym shorts. Can you bring them? I'd be like, no, I'm not bringing them. And don't text me. You're in school. Like, my daughter knows not to text me. Ever. Yes.
Oh, okay. No,
but
that
this
needs
is
to
be yeah,
the school needs to. The school needs to do something about that. Yeah.
How are we giving them confidence? How are we yes. showing them independence? How are we teaching them to be responsible if they're tethered to us all day?
Yes, exactly. Yes. No, they need that. They need yes. that independence to be able to grow, because that's what's going to also help their resilience. How are they going to be able to get up from a setback if they're always being, you know, oh, no, yeah, that needs to, the school needs to do something about that.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you. So much for being on here today. I've learned some things too.
I've learned.
I always like learning to add to help anyone who is, you know, in trouble. And we know that parents are in trouble right now. And they're really suffering with all the issues at our home and dealing with abuse and physical abuse and emotional abuse and trying to entertain kids and work full time. It's really hard. And I'm going to just sum up what you've said.
Okay, go
so
for it.
So before we go, also on this podcast, I will be linking your website. Fina's from Parent Teen Solutions. She's in the UK. She's helping teens to become better versions of themselves. And you're helping parents to give them encouragement and tools to connect with their teen in a short exactly. version of what you said.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So you said to me today three things that resonated. Mm-hmm. You have to talk to your child. You have to keep the intimacy of your relationship your number one priority. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yes, absolutely.
And one of the most powerful things that I have learned as a parent and as a coach, teacher, is to listen without criticism, right? Listen
of
without
course.
Criticism. And secondly, I really like how we validate, you said to validate what they're saying. And you gave examples of that. And parents can go back here and see our examples exactly. of that as well. And if children are lonely, it's our job to make them feel happy, right? Would you agree with that? It's our responsibility
Absolutely.
To make
Absolutely.
Them happy.
Absolutely.
Right? And we have your tools that we can go to and use and mm-hmm. try, right, at home. And if one tool doesn't work, Fina, what are we going to do?
We go to another. We try another.
Well, thank
we
you
try
so
another.
Much.
We just cannot give up. We can't give up.
And
giving up is not an option.
The future yes. of the collateral damage out of this, right? How children are already fearful to go to school. I don't even know if my little one, I think he'll be okay.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be the same because they can't get close. No, they're going to lose that intimacy
exactly.
from friendships, right?
Exactly.
I don't want to go with you. You're not my bubble.
Yes, yes.
I've had to tell my kid.
Exactly.
You can't go into someone's house and
so
he stands
true.
It on the porch and little bless him.
So
he didn't
true.
Go in.
So
the mom invited him in without being in his bubble. I was shocked.
Oh.
I know. It really alarmed me. So he
yeah.
had the little guts to say, no,
yes.
no, my mom said no.
Also.
I'm like, good job, buddy.
Good job.
Well,
good job.
So I think those are about 6 points that we went through
mm-hmm.
to help parents at home today. And if you need any further help, I have put your website and everything into my link.
Okay.
So thank you very much, Fina.
Thank you so much, Larissa, for having me. I really appreciate you and I appreciate the work that you're doing. Let's keep going. We're all in this together.
I know, and we have to do it again.
Going.
I
said yes, yes. Oh, yes. Definitely.
And we
definitely.
Talk about more of how children are
yes.
transitioning in school.
Yes.
I think maybe that's another topic.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
Thank
we're
you
here.
Very much.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Talk to you soon.
Too.
Thank you for joining me today at the table with Larissa. I'm going to keep exploring all the reasons why children are having more mental health issues, speech delays, and on their phones 24/7. Parents, it is our responsibility to raise happy, productive humans. If you wish to come on the show, just contact me off my website, where you'll find courses, articles, group support, and more. Just sign up for free, or you can follow us on Instagram. Here's hoping your family stays balanced and happy.